So welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me. Yes, I did have testicular torsion. I didn't even know what that was either until they thought it was appendicitis. So they brought me to the emergency ward. They were like, yeah, it's appendicitis, everything I was describing to them. And then they left me there overnight with morphine. Like they just kept putting more and more morphine in there. And I was like, I need more. Not because of any other reason that I was in so much pain. And then in the morning, I did all these ultrasounds. And they were like, oh, it's actually testicular torsion. But you're lucky. We did get it to it like way too late. Like you would have had to remove your testicle. But because of the morphine, it's actually like loosened out the thing and it untangled the cord. So I was very lucky thanks to morphine. Yeah, it's not fun, hey.
Oh man, it's just like, yeah, that sort of delicate part of the body, which whenever you see it on like the TV, someone like, you know, I've done it with playing soccer and the goalkeeper, and you just get the ball in that painful position. You just have that empathy for anyone.
Yeah,
that's sort of
I know what you mean.
In that sort of area, it's just
it's not a fun experience. I wouldn't recommend it on anyone. If anyone's like, I wonder what that pain is like, nah, you don't want to know. You don't even want to know. It feels like you're hungry on the right side of your groin. Like it's a really hard pain to describe. Oh. It's like being hungry, but not in your stomach, in another part of your body. It's like that grueling, like that. That's what it feels like.
Oh, well, it certainly would have made a headline writer's dream. I mean, I just think that that must have been, yeah.
Yeah, I said that it was nuts to the journalist, and that was the caption. He goes, that's nuts. I was like, of course, use that one.
You've been on the circuit now for nearly a decade now. So tell us a little bit about, I mean, you started out doing comedy when you were 14. Can you tell us a little bit about like your formative comedy years? What was it like?
Yeah. So, I mean, I started comedy when I was 14, and that was weird because, you know, my parents would have to come to my gigs, and that was a really weird experience. Like my dad had to sign me into the shows. And then the first ever show that I went on, my dad was standing at the back and he was recording, but he didn't know the set that I was going to do. And the whole set was just about him and my mum. And it was like 2 or 3 minutes of not clean stuff. You know, I was 14. I was doing some pretty cheeky humor, you know, at them and their expense. And then we got in the car and he's like, should have stuck with accounting, son. Just stay on that ride. But now it's been fun. It's been really fun. So I do enjoy doing the live shows. It's definitely a fun aspect of things.
So your mum and dad, they're fine with you?
Yeah, I mean, they've gotten used to it. You know,
so they're acclimatized too?
Yeah, like I've done jokes about them many times, and at the start they'd be like, oh, you can't say that, that's horrible. And now they're just starting to get used to it. It's like, it's a bit easier.
You've got a new show called What's Next, follows up from Adele Hold. So what can people expect in your show?
Pretty much no theme, like... People ask me, like, what's the thing?
Wandering sort of.
Yeah, it's just stand-up. It's like, I like to just do stand-up shows. It covers many things from, like, dating to, like, moving out of home to share houses and how messed up it is living in a share house. And now I live with a couple as well. So living with a couple and all that entails. So all that sort of stuff. And then I talk about, you know, going to Thailand and like just pretty much all things that young people go through in one show. It's like all just crammed in as much stuff as I can fit in like 55 minutes. So if you don't like one topic, there's another one coming in a couple of minutes. That's how I look at it.
So you've early on, a lot of your comic work would have been about your parents and drawing on the humor of them, but now it's about sort of growing up and encountering sort of life challenges.
It is pretty much just like a coming of age sort of show, I guess. But then so have the other few shows, so I guess, you know, it's like growing up and it's like seeing the world, and I enjoy it and the audiences have been quite responsive to it, so here's hoping.
And also I believe you're talking a little bit about having your own stalker. Is this
I had one last year. One ended up Snapchatting me from the train station. So she ended up messaging, saying, like, she was messaging for a few months, and then one time she was like, hey, where are you right now? And I said, oh, like, I wasn't obviously gonna say where I was, right? But I should have probably not responded to many of them because it was slightly getting a bit weirder and weirder. And I ended up saying, oh, I'm just at home. But I was at the train station because I didn't want to be like, what train station I'm at. I think I was at Redfern train station. And I ended up getting a Snapchat. I was opening up the Snapchat and it's just me in the Snapchat, right? But then I looked around and like it was obviously coming from upstairs, and I look up and like no one's up there. So I was like, oh, that's kind of creepy. And it was like night as well. It was like 7 or 8 o'clock, you know? So I was like, oh, what's going on here? And she didn't say anything. You know, she wasn't around. So it sort of like freaked me out. There wasn't many people around, you know? So I was like, oh, jeez, what's going on here? So that was a very interesting story and quite scary.
yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, you've probably had the thing with, you know, interacting with social media and, you know,
yeah,
you know, all the sort of, you get the whiners and you probably get, you know, I mean, I think you had, was it Matt from Wagga Wagga or something?
Brett from Wagga Wagga. Yeah, 100%. Shout out to Brett from Wagga Wagga, my biggest hater. Yet, he thinks that I need to get hit by a train ASAP. Right. And, you know, I always say, like, Brett, have you seen Australia's public transport system? You know, like, I'm more likely to get hit by replacement bus service. That is me, you know.
Do you have any hecklers during your show? When
oh, yeah, all so the time, but you just shut them down. So it's quite easy to... Yeah. Hecklers are... I mean, even last night, there was one guy at the front. I mean, the thing about hecklers is, like, as soon as someone heckles, all the audience just goes, oh, shut up. From an audience point of view, you've got them on side. So anything you say, even if it's not that funny, you can say anything back to a heckler.
I mean, they've come to see you. They haven't come to see the
heckler. Exactly. So, yeah, exactly. So they're like, you know, Damo in the front, who's had four VBs, now thinking he's funnier than everyone in the room, can shut up.
And do you have fun sort of playing with that sort of dynamic?
Yeah, I love it. I love crowd interaction. I feed on that. I love when people shout out things and then you say something back and then they say something and then, or if they falter or whatever they do, I love the crowd interaction of doing stand up. That's one of my favorite parts.
So important part is the sort of audience dynamic. Yeah. Of just being able to read a room and...
Like, my show's quite interactive. Yeah. I do love interacting with the crowd and like asking questions and getting, you know, them to say things or things mess up and all that sort of stuff. So I do really enjoy that.
And so would you have any tips for up and coming comedians? You know, I mean, you started so young. I mean,
yeah, don't do it. Like, I reckon, you know, just go for it. Like, you know what I mean? Just do all the gigs. I don't really care what other comedians have to say about your material. Like, just focus on your stuff and just be you.
What I find with comedy is it's the unique qualities of, you know, each comic. It's sort of like this idea that there's some sort of like nice little sort of textbook
version. Your personality, yeah.
I think everyone sort of has a different approach.
It's just your personality. Yeah. Just try to be as personable as possible and like work to finding you on stage, which takes a while. Mm. Like, I really only feel like in the last year or two that I've started to find myself more on stage. And that's just from doing like hundreds and hundreds of gigs. Mm. And essentially, it's like a round circle. Like, you just want to become yourself on stage to the point where you're so comfortable talking to one person, like one-on-one with your best mate, you want to be that comfortable talking to an audience. Like, that's how you want to be on stage, whatever happens. So whether someone heckles you, you want to be in that same position. And when you start on stage, you're trying to be a comedian, you know, you're like, okay, well, I think this is how comedy's done. But then over like 6-7 years, you know, you actually figure out, oh no, wait, I can just be myself because I know all the tricks now and I know what they laugh at and what you can get away with. And
so you'd learn a lot, would you, about just how a joke's structured just by sort of how, you know, the room responds. I mean, you know.
100%. Yeah.
Like that joke you have about the exam supervisor, like you sort of introduce and then you sort of return. Yeah.
It's all about like reveal as well, but like even then, just funny stories and just having a punchline. Punchlines are very important. It is comedy. So without a punchline, it becomes poetry or spoken word.
Spoken word.
And if you only got a spoken word,
then you can get one of those earnest people.
100%. And spoken word is very different to comedy, right? You don't rock up to spoken word drunk. Yeah, it's a very different experience. But no, you need punchlines, obviously, and you're just being yourself. That's the main thing. Yeah.